Good morning. Welcome to Hillcrest Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, and to this worship service, Sunday, November 29th, 2020. A special welcome to those worshiping with us for the first time. Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, that season of four Sundays leading up to Christmas. Our worship theme for Advent is I Believe Even When, and the focus for this Sunday is I Believe in the Sun, Hope for Tomorrow. More simply put, our theme is hope. Advent is a time when we celebrate and share the light of Christ, even in the darkness. For those who have Advent wreaths, I invite you to have them at the ready. We will be lighting the first candle of the Advent wreath shortly. For all of you, I invite you, if you can do so safely, to have a candle at the ready or any other light source, and please light that when I light the first candle of Hillcrest's Advent wreath. Normally, at this point, I would say, we will now hear the news of community. Not during Advent. Now we will enjoy an Advent tradition at Hillcrest as we sing a few Christmas carols together before the service begins. The printed news of community has been circulated via eBlast. If you would like to be added to that contact list, email me at revfred.hillcrest@att.net and know that at the very close of this service, during the postlude, you will see highlights from our news of community on the screen. And now I invite you to sit up, even stand up, for our Hillcrest Every Sunday in Advent carol sing.
One of our cherished traditions during Advent at Hillcrest is the weekly carol sing. I invite you to join with our soloists and sing heartily and with joy, knowing that wherever you are, your voice is lifted up, along with your Hillcrest family and others, who are all joining for the carol sing in our worship service today.
Kingdom. Lord.
This Advent, we are looking to hear words of comfort, of guidance, and of good news. On this Advent Sunday of Hope, we hear the words of Isaiah, the great prophet, and of Mark, so far as we know, the first gospel writer, both saying, "The good news is coming, almost here. Make yourself ready. Raise your voices. Change your hearts. Get ready to be transformed, because now is the time." Let us embrace the hope that we can do what needs to be done to bring God's light, more good news light, into our world. Now please join me in our responsive opening prayer as found on the screen. Holy One, we thank you for the glimpses we catch of your gift of untiring hope, even in the midst of fear, of challenge, of struggle. Even when our view is obscured by clouds of doubt, ignite the flame of hope within us, that we might glow with its brilliance from the inside out. And now let's join in singing. O God, help us face this bleak night of the soul and embrace it as a womb of rebirth. And let everybody say, Amen. Please join me in lighting the first candle, the candle of hope.
Today, we light the candle of Advent 1. The candle of hope reminds us that hope is like a glowing light in the darkness. It encourages us to hope and pray that God's light will shine over the world today.
Captive Israel that mourns.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine all the time. Let it shine. Do you guys know that song? You probably do. You've probably sung it before in school. Or maybe we've even sung it together here at church. It's a famous song and a powerful one. And it's celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. It wasn't just a song people would sing for fun. It became a symbol of resistance and hope during the civil rights movement. Famously, a woman by the name of Fannie Lou Hamer started singing it on a bus that had been stopped by the police. That's part of what we're talking about this Advent, being a light shining in the darkness. How song has the power to bring us together, to spread hope in the world. And hope is important. This first Sunday of Advent is the Sunday of hope. But it's not as simple as that, is it? We can't sing together nowadays. We're all meeting over the internet, and even when we do find ways to gather outside, singing is one of the things that they say you really shouldn't do, because it can spread the virus. So we have to find other ways. What I'd like you to do this week is find some time to sing at home, on your own. Maybe sing This Little Light, or maybe find something else to sing. But use that moment to bring a little bit of light, a little bit of hope, a little bit of song into the world. If I can do it, you can do it. I know you're all better singers than I am, and you don't have to do it on a YouTube recording. I look forward to seeing all of you in Sunday school.
Our first reading for the Advent season is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. A voice is crying out, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak compassionately to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her compulsory service has ended, that her penalty has been paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is crying out, 'Clear the Lord's way in the desert, make a level highway in the wilderness for our God.' Every valley will be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be flattened. Uneven ground will become level, and rough terrain a valley plain. The Lord's glory will appear, and all humanity will see it together. The Lord's mouth has commanded it. Go up on a high mountain, Messenger Zion. Raise your voice and shout, Messenger Jerusalem. Raise it, don't be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, 'Here is your God. Here is the Lord God coming with strength, with a triumphant arm, bringing God's reward and payment along. Like a shepherd, God will tend the flock. God will gather lambs in her arms and lift them onto his lap. God will gently guide the nursing ewes."
This Advent calls on the power of sung poetry to inspire us to a brighter tomorrow. In the absence of communal singing during the pandemic, we've been reminded of just how important it is to sing together. It's not for nothing that music has been called the soundtrack of hope. Someday we will once again be able to join our voices together in our beautiful sanctuary. For now, rather than turn away from music with disappointment, we lean into the hope that music carries and deepen our appreciation of its role in healing, in change, and in reconciliation. To present the thematic anthem for this series, we consider the poetry of an anonymous Jewish prisoner living during the Holocaust. The words were found scrawled on a wall and are now shared with the world, reminding us of the resilience of hope. May we never forget what can happen when evil goes unchecked. And may we always use our music, our art, our poetry, our every act of kindness to inspire the creation of goodness in this world. We listen. Our Advent 1 Gospel reading is from the Gospel of Mark. It needs no introduction. It itself is an introduction to who Christ is for us, and let us pray in us and among us. Chapter 1, verse 1 of the Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happens just as it is written in the prophecy of Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight his paths. John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for the people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." About that time, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. While he was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw the heavens splitting open and the Spirit like a dove coming down on him. There was a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." At once, the Spirit forced Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee announcing God's good news, saying, "Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust this good news." And God bless our hearing of the good news. Amen. Can you feel it? I hope you can. Can you feel it? Before we get to our Advent lessons, our lessons of hope, call for hope, vision of hope, recipe, dare I say it that way, for hope, maybe I should first ask this. What do you feel? How do you feel now? For many of us, not so good might be the answer, the best, honest answer. Afraid, worried, concerned about our jobs, our income, our family, about our country, about our own health and loved ones' health, about our safety, our loved ones' safety, for the safety of others who look like us and the safety of others who don't look like us. There is a lot to be concerned about. Can you feel it? I invite you to go back after the service and sit with both these texts, Isaiah chapter 40, the first 11 verses, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, the first 15 verses. Carry them with you in your heart, remembering the feelings they give you as you let them wash over you and through you. Carry them with you. Can you feel it? So, things aren't right. Can you feel it? Things aren't right. What are we going to do about it? What is God going to do about it? What are God's leaders going to do about it? What are God's people going to do about it? Both Isaiah and Mark tell us the same thing. The first step towards change is to recognize that things aren't right. You're not going to change the legacy of racism in this country until you realize, recognize, and admit that things aren't right. You're not going to change the spread of COVID in this country until you realize, recognize, and admit that things aren't right for stemming that spread. You're not going to see and feel God's grace and justice and hope and joy and love and peace in the world, at least not as clearly as we ought, as we were created to feel it, unless and until you admit that things aren't right. And when you do, watch out, because things are going to change. Now, these texts are fascinating and poetic, and they play out on several levels, the personal and the national, the communal and the individual. Just look at Mark. Everyone is coming out, stepping out from Jerusalem and all of Judea to go to Vegas? Hawaii? No. The wilderness. The desert. Somewhere in the Central Valley, maybe, or maybe the middle of Nevada somewhere? That doesn't make sense. The mountains will be brought low and the valleys raised up. Uneven ground will be made level. I wish they could do that to the sidewalks around my house, but that's another story. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah. Mountains leveled, valleys raised, level ground, straight and safe roadways through desert landscapes. It doesn't make sense. What's going on? Do you know? Can you feel it? And now, John the Baptist is dunking people. That's literally what the biblical word means, dunking. He's baptizing people, doing a kind of ritual cleansing as people come to him to confess, to lay it out there for themselves and all who are listening with them. Yeah, we get it. There must be a better way. There must be a better way to live as God's people in the world. And then Jesus comes along, like Elvis, I guess, leaps up onto the stage and says, "Here I am." Except no, that's not what happens. What happens is fascinating. And it invites us in. What if we put ourselves in Jesus's place?
I know that sounds silly, but it's what Mark invites us to do. It's what Jesus invites us to do. The story invites us in to Jesus's place to experience what Jesus experiences here. But I can't dance or sing like Elvis. I can't heal or teach or preach like Jesus. Okay, fair enough. But is that what the story's about? It says John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized. And then it says, about that time, Jesus came. It doesn't say there was any special music. It doesn't indicate that a spotlight was put on Jesus. I don't think anybody said, and now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the one, the only Jesus. I don't think, because Mark doesn't think. That's not what Mark tells us. Mark's been telling us, John's been telling us, Isaiah's been telling us, something's got to change. It's got to change, people, for your own good, for the world's own good. And what good are we doing anyway as people of God if we're not living as God would have us live? And about that time, Jesus came, it says. Did he hear John's call? Did he hear God's call? Yes. Do we? Here's how Mark tells it. And about that time, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. While he was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw heaven splitting open and the Spirit like a dove coming down on him. And there was a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." Isaiah invites us in. Mark invites us in. This very Advent season that we're in invites. Not to see this as a baptism story, not that I have anything against baptism. And let me say, if any participating in this service have not been baptized, I invite you to reach out to me, please. But here's my point for our purposes now. Mark is inviting us to see this as an Advent story. A change is coming. The world needs it, you bet. And each of us needs it, you bet. Heck, Jesus needed it. And God's words, "You are my beloved child." I'm taking nothing away from Jesus now, and I'm certainly not trying to suggest that any of us is the Christ. Of course not. But those words, "You are my child whom I dearly love," I ask you, for who among us is that not true? It's true for you. It's true even for me. And then God continues talking, "In you I find happiness. In you I find happiness." Eureka! I've got it. The biblical word even has that "you" part of Eureka. I found it built right into it. God doesn't just use any word for happiness. God finds happiness. God delights in you, it says. Of course God does. God made you for life and hope and joy and love and peace in life. This Advent, Mark is inviting us to find that happiness, find that connection to God that Jesus and all those others coming out to repent and be baptized model for us. The time is now. And the starting point is connection. Connection to God, connection to the prophet Isaiah's call to be prepared, connection to Mark's call to respond to God and God's ways that make for life. The people were going out, stepping out, getting away from what held them back and held them down to seek their connection to the ways of God. That's the call of this season of Advent. That's Advent hope. Can you feel it? I hope and pray so. And now, And now we don't say Amen. Instead, I ask you to say along with me the Litany of Belief, which will come up on the screen shortly. In times such as these, when humanity disappoints, perhaps even when our own thoughts and behaviors disappoint, it's an important act to call out, to name and claim who we are and the consequences of what we do and don't do. In times of distress, it's a prophetic act to call out, to name and claim our belief and our hope for tomorrow and our conviction to act now. Please join me in these statements of faith. I believe that God is with us now, and I believe that we are capable of facing reality and working for change. I believe that our fear can rob us of compassion, and I believe that we can look deeper into ourselves and others and find God at work in the world. We believe, even when we are discouraged, and we believe that when we are discouraged, raising our voices for love and justice will offer us hope. Amen. And again I say, Amen.
I invite you to get in a comfortable position of rest. I invite you to get as quiet and still as you can. I invite you to a deep breath and a deep listening posture, perhaps eyes closed or fixed on a candle, as we prepare for a time of prayer.
The gentle pull of God is often lost amidst the rush of all the obligations which lay a claim on us. Yet just beyond the frantic pace our restless feet have trod, lie deep still pools of quietness. The dwelling place of
we enter into prayer with our God and each other. Meet us in the stillness, O God, in the air we breathe. Meet us in the stillness, O God. Free us to ask and to receive. We thank you, O God, for Advent hope,
We thank you for the prophet Isaiah, for the gospel writer Mark, for Jesus, and for all those people who came out and continue to come out and be transformed by you. And we thank you that you call us to do the same. Be with us, O God, in this challenging time as we pray for what concerns us and for what brings us joy. Be with us and hear us as we pray for our world, for our nation, for ourselves, for all that brings us concern and for all that brings us joy. I invite all of us now to call out names of people, places, situations. And I add to all that's being named, those of our Hillcrest family who are sick or recovering from illness and injury, including Anne, Ariana, Betty, Floor, John, Norm and Adele, Rachel, and Ron. And I ask your presence, O God, on the things that are too deep for words or that we are unable to express in words. Hold us and comfort us. Bring us hope through your loving, compassionate, and transforming spirit. And let that same spirit be with and among us all as we pray together just as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We are called to believe in God, even in those times when we can't see the light. As an act of faith, we continue to send our pledges or offerings through the mail or online, knowing that in doing so, we are bringing light to others. Thank you for your generous gifts of time, talent, and treasure to strengthen the work of our church. Let us pray. Beloved creating God, thank you for the gift of faith that lets us know you are there even when we can't see you. Help us to be the light for others, that through giving of ourselves we show them that they are held always in your loving light. Amen.
Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote this poem on Christmas Day in 1863 during the heart of the Civil War. His wife had died tragically in a fire, and he had just found out that his son was injured as a soldier for the Union. He heard the sound of church bells and began to write, spurred on by his own sorrow and by the state of humanity. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to all. And yet hope wins out as he pens the final verse, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does God sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to all. Let us sing.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.
I invite you to pick up this week's Advent candle or another light source. Hold it high as we receive the blessing. We wait for justice, and we work for change. We wait for restored health, and we work to heal. We wait for wholeness, and we work at binding brokenness in ourselves and others. We wait for peace, and we work to eliminate hatred. And so, my friends, like bells ringing out the news, like the sun that still shines even on cloudy days and fills the darkness of sadness and fear with messages of hope, go into your lives humming the tunes that keep that hope alive in you and that inspire you to work for justice and reconciliation. Raise your candle, raise your voice, and repeat after me, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Live in God's hope. Amen. And now let us pass the peace of Christ, the peace of God's ever-creating and life-giving and hope-giving wisdom, one with another. I invite you to open your heart to all of our siblings in the Hillcrest family and to all of humanity, and say together with me, the peace of Christ be with you. And now respond, and also with you. Our service has ended. For those of you worshiping with us on Sunday morning, November 29th, 2020, know that we will be gathering at 11 a.m. for a time of fellowship. The information to join that meeting via Zoom has been circulated. If you're worshiping with us for the first time and have not received it, or otherwise have questions about it, please email me now at revfred.hillcrest@att.net. And a reminder, as you listen to the postlude, slides with the news of community will come up on the screen. Go in peace, shelter in peace, experience your connection with the wisdom of God and each other and with the whole of creation in peace. Amen.